Today with Claire Byrne on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by Cash and Carry Kitchens. Transform your home with the warmth of an Irish-made kitchen. Cashandcarrykitchens.ie.
Email todaycb at rte.ie.
Now, from the glistening sheen of a perfectly crisp coffee slice to a heartwarming chunky wedge of fluffy Battenberg, what is it about those timeless classic cakes and treats that just make your mouth water and give us that wholesome feeling? We're going to need a cup of tea for this one. I'm joined in the studio by Tony Kane, who's president of the Irish Bakery Association and bakery specialist at Odlums. And Barry Savage is here too, retail consultant. You're barely in your chairs because you'd so much to put out here in front of us here in terms of goodies, Tony. You'd an early start, I'd say, putting all this together.
Well, I did, but I have to say, Claire, I had some help from Gary Wickham and Mark and Sarah out in Superquinn and Sutton there. So
you enlisted them all to help
you. They all
helped. And a special mention for Gary, is it?
Gary is retiring after 50 odd years.
Right. So, well, listen, he might be indulging in a bit of nostalgia because that's what we're doing. Barry, you're a big fan of the apple tart, are you?
Oh, look, I love the traditional apple tart. You can't. I mean, on a rainy Tuesday morning, sitting in your kitchen with a slice of apple tart, and I'm not talking about an apple flambé or a pie or something like that. I mean, an apple tart that's baked onto a dinner plate.
Yeah.
Onto a Delft dinner plate. And when it's cold, you can eat it when you're standing up.
Yeah.
That's the main thing.
And it's nice and thin and light as well. You can eat the whole thing, really, if you put your mind to it.
You could absolutely eat the whole thing. And it's better, I always think it's better cold. I wrap a slice in a bit of tissue paper and bring it when I'm going out for a walk.
What?
Because bring it when I'm going out for a walk. And you can eat it when you're standing up. You can buy your coffee and you walk. Now, you have a swarm of seagulls following you. But it is one of the best because it holds, like myself, Claire, it holds its shape.
What about you, Tony? Are you a fan of the older fashioned? Let's start with the apple tart because you can get very fancy ones now.
You can, you know, and it's still very popular. You know, apple tart sales are really still strong. But coming in today, I start thinking back what did they used to do in the bygone days.
Yeah.
And of course, Gour cake had to be there, you know, and the likes of Tipsy cake,
To me about Gour cake now.
Yeah. Well, it's funny. I worked in Blackrock in Superquinn there, and out there they called the Chester cake.
Right, because they were fancy in Blackrock.
Yeah. And in Ringsend.
Not like Swords.
In Ringsend and Swords, it was called Wet Nelly.
Right.
You know, so it's a huge difference.
But what part is it?
It's leftover bread and cake crumb mixed together with spices and hot water and then sandwiched between two layers of puff pastry.
Right, fresh puff pastry, but the bits inside.
And sultanas and dried fruit added to it.
What do you do? Whiz up all the bits, the leftover bits?
Yep. Whiz up all the leftover bits and the hot water helps break it down. Add your nice spices, your dried fruit and sandwich it between two layers of pastry.
Lovely. That deals with the waste as well. And we used to be very good at this.
Very good. And the same with Tipsy cake. Tipsy cake was all the leftover breadcrumbs. And there's some Eccles cakes there which you don't see anymore. Some of them had breadcrumbs in it as well, mm-hmm. with fruit and apple and jam and all added.
And rum.
And rum.
Yeah. Is that exactly why the Tipsy cake is tipsy?
It'd make you tipsy if you eat enough of it, you know.
Yeah. Could be breathalyzed after four or five of them, so you could, Claire.
Have these things fallen out of favour, Barry?
They have a bit, I suppose. I mean, we've got a bit fancy, so we have in recent times. And that, I mean, you know, look, when did fairy cakes become cupcakes?
I mean,
the cupcakes you see now, you wouldn't know whether to eat it or stick a feather in it and wear it as a fascinator.
Yeah, I see with my own children, though, they do love the fancy ones. You know, the ones that have all the icing and the bits and different chocolates and things on them.
They do. But in terms of like the tradition and that, I mean, you can't beat an old, like,
a
fairy cake, a bun, exactly, bun, and maybe, you know, cut the top off that and put a bit of cream onto it as well. And very, very simple. But I know it's something to do, I think, as well with Instagram and social media. People expect, like, creations. They expect a cake to be a big wow thing that just take the eye out of your head. And a lot of them are just cardboard with marzipan on them. That's what they are. They're great for the Insta moment or whatever. Mm-hmm. But if you're to sit down and eat it, mm-hmm. it's, you mean, nothing can beat, as like Tony's array of gorgeousness that we have in front of us here now.
But, you know, it was if we think back in the day with the likes of Bewley's in Grafton Street.
Yeah.
And they used to be famous for, well, obviously their currant bun was always famous. Their almond bun was bursting with almonds. But their shoe pastry was, you'd bite into the shoe pastry and there'd be cream all over your hair and ears and everywhere.
Explosion. You know,
there'd be so much.
Yeah.
But there were some great things like Bewley's Tea Time Express, Johnston Mooney's out in Ballsbridge.
Boston Bakery.
And Thunder's, the most recent casualty is Thunder's Bakery.
And what do you think is going on? Why has the change happened, Tony? Because you're in the business. I mean, you see the trends.
It's you know, what's trending in bakery really is well, it's a bit of a complicated because the bread is on the decline because people perceive it to be not good for you. Mm-hmm. You know, perceive it to
but
be.
But they're
fattening.
Misguided in that belief.
Definitely misguided in it. You know, and you know what's trending is the likes of donuts, which is fried bread and full of calories and things like that. Mm-hmm. So where's the value
jam that's thing. Like lava when you bite into it, it squirts it all over your.
I don't know. A nice donut now is hard to beat too.
Like but a simple one, Claire. Simple I mean, one. Not something like you know that's like the American style donuts with all sorts of things on it. Mm-hmm. You know, just a nice simple donut with a hole in it that's rolled in a bit of sugar. Again, with a cup of tea on a rainy Tuesday.
But we've gone fancy with those as well. I just want to come back to that chew pastry because they just look. So delicious. Tony, is there a knack to getting the choux pastry right?
Not
for you now. You've probably forgotten the knack because you're doing it so long.
The big, I suppose, deal with choux pastry is the baking of it. You know, if you open the oven too soon, they'll collapse. You know, so you get your temperatures right, nice hot oven, and, you know, don't open the oven halfway through or even 5 minutes beforehand or you're in trouble. Really with it, you know.
Anne says that Gur cake is also known as donkey's wedding cake. Have you ever heard that before?
Yeah, no, I've heard it called, Claire, I've heard it called donkey gudge.
Right, lovely. Whatever that means.
Whatever that is. Yeah. But and I mean, there's also, it depends on the area.
On the area. Well, Anne is from Cork, so maybe that explains that.
That would explain
donkey's
that.
Wedding cake. This one, my granny used to do a bake on a Saturday. Loaves of a brown bread and a thing called Russian mush. Chunks of apple covered in sponge, topped with sugar in a big sheet pan. I've tried so many times to replicate, but I can't quite get it right. It was, with my nostalgia glasses on, always warm and absolutely perfect. That sounds a bit like Eve's pudding.
Well, funny enough, I was, a friend of mine told me about Eve's pudding or Eve's cake. And it's a shortbread with apple and sponge. And I've known this lady. I said, are you sure it's not Thieves' cake? You know? But it's but Eve's cake, yeah.
What else have you got there?
There's shoe swans. They're a little bit bent over with the heat there now. There's some shortbread and marzipan biscuits. We have some eclairs, of course.
Yeah, but tell me about the Battenberg, because I was looking it up last night. Yeah. Where did Battenberg come from? Nobody seems to know on the whole of the internet.
Yeah, Tony, you could correct me if I'm wrong, but it's supposed to be, I think it's named after a princess or Queen Victoria's granddaughter. Also called Victoria, who married a German prince, happened to be from Battenberg, and it was like the pink and the yellow sponge and this one. It's supposed to be the four houses coming together,
and they eventually became the Mountbattens.
They eventually became the Mountbattens, and they wrapped it up and then marzipan as well. But it was always. It's also I've also heard it called church window cake or cathedral window.
See, this
cake.
Is where the confusion comes in.
Yeah, that's exactly where the confusion would come in. But it's one of those things as well that when you see everybody knows what it is. When they see it and see those colours in it as well. Those, you know, psychedelic. I always used to call it psychedelic cake when I was younger.
Nearly every confection has some sort of a story, like the Victoria Sponge, the Battenberg, the Eccles cake. There's that's to celebrate some prince as well, as far as you know, or could have been
a war or a battle.
But do people want the Battenberg anymore, Tony? Because it is very plain to eat, isn't it?
It's quite nice as a treat. age, but it's labour intensive, you know. You probably wouldn't get many bakers making it, really. You know, it's quite labour intensive, mm-hmm. unless it's mechanicalised somehow.
You wouldn't be making it at home yourself, Claire, because
I wouldn't be too bothered. It's too finicky.
Yeah, it's finicky.
From Cork said to me, "Are you making a Milli Filly?" And I said, "What's a Milli Filly?"
A Milli Filly.
So it's the Mille Fleuve gâteau. It means a thousand leaves.
Thousand leaves,
you know,
yeah.
And it's gorgeous. But again, you were saying with the cakes that you'd buy years ago, the cream would end up shooting over your head and all over the place. But they're delicious.
I mean, like the coffee slices as well, Claire. I mean, the coffee slices of all. I mean, they're still on the go. Tony.
Yeah, they're quite popular.
The coffee slices. I mean, mm-hmm. and they're not fancy. Like they're not an espresso martini coffee slice or a decaffeinated coffee slice or something like that. It is the traditional, like puff pastry, I think, with the coffee fondant icing on it, filled with cream as well. And it's just absolutely delicious.
Again, a cup of tea.
I mean, just mention another few.
Go ahead.
Chelsea Buns was a real old confection going back in the day. Then Rum Baba, it's still probably in more as a dessert, really. The French Petit Fours, they were quite popular. And then you always had these marble cakes and layer cakes or a cherry log or the cherry bun, which have disappeared, really. And in Johnston Mooney's Ballsbridge, where I worked for a while, you know, you had the Australian Sultana cake and the Genoa cake.
What was the Australian Sultana cake?
They said it was the Sultanas came from Australia.
Right. And, that's what they told you, wasn't it?
They came from Musgraves and Ballymun, Tony. They didn't come from Australia. Will you get out of that?
You know what you've just reminded me of? The iced log. Yeah. I know you can still get them, but can you get anything nicer than an iced log?
Yeah. No.
My daughter Roisin loves them, and I made one, but I didn't bring it with me.
Iced logs are lovely.
We'll hold that against you, Tony.
Yeah, sorry, but you can't beat the Victoria sponge, Claire. That's what I always say.
I
remember.
You have to get someone like Tony to make it properly.
Well, absolutely. We used to sell hundreds of them on a Sunday morning. JC and swords, absolute hundreds of them. I used to take them in, we signed them in the morning. We'd sell about 500 or 600 of them.
What?
On a Sunday morning.
With jam and cream.
Oh, with jam and cream, like ruby red raspberry jam and double whipped cream. I don't know what double whipped cream is, but it was beautiful, thick whipped cream. And we used to sell it from our delicatessen, not even from the bakery, because you couldn't get the bakers to work on a Sunday. But you used to get them. Yes, God. Sorry, Tony.
Because they would be up at three o'clock in the morning every other day.
Absolutely. But they'd come in and they'd go down to the deli and the staff would lift them very carefully off the breadboard, as carefully as a mother would lift a baby over a cradle. Mm-hmm. You put it into this box. Actually, the cream would be fingered out of it by the time you get to the checkout. Mm-hmm. But I'd always put one boy for myself. And I will remember to this day, Claire, after me tea on a Sunday, not me lunch, after me tea.
6 o'clock.
Tea, 6 o'clock, the leaf of lettuce and the boiled egg. I'd have a slice of that. And you know what it is, Claire? As I'm talking to you now, I can hear the tea music, not alone from Glen Rowe, but from the Reardons coming through at me on a Sunday evening. Mm-hmm. Think, merciful hour, I better do my homework for tomorrow. Mm-hmm. So that's what we mean about, and this is what these cakes represent. Mm-hmm. It's that culinary, it's baked into the consciousness.
Do you know another thing that's in my head now is desiccated coconut.
Yeah.
That's kind of gone as well, is it? Do people still like it?
Back in the day, there's some coconut tarts there as well in the box. But coconut was cheap and still is cheap to make. And that's how that jam and coconut complement each other well. So back in the day, a bakery would make a jam and coconut slice or whatever, because it was relatively cheap to make. And like the snow cake here, the snow cake is just a sheet of Madeira topped with an icing. But it was a treat for kids to go in and get. You know.
Well, we're going off to have a feast now. I don't know about you. You're probably sick looking at it, Tony, but I'm going to try a little bit of everything.
Right. Claire, I know you're used to talking to presidents, but I'm not
you're
the president.
You're a member now, aren't you?
I'm a member. Patrick Toomey is the president.
We'll give him his due. We'll have to get him to bake for us now. Tony, thanks so much. Tony Kane, member of the Irish Bakery Association, and Barry Savage, retail consultant. So lovely to have you both with us. And thank you for bringing all these wonderful things.